Sesame Daddy Ben, it's time for the Three Count Podcast. I'm your host, Dylan Chambers. Joining me is Three Counts Excalibur. I'd like to thank Ben Hobden. Benny, welcome to the show.
Is that what I look like? I'm wearing a mask, does it, mate? Thanks. Says a lot about me, really, doesn't it? Thanks, buddy.
No problems. Now, I've got a great show for you. We're going to preview the entire Full Gear card, give you some odds, some predictions. And for our draft today, to celebrate Saraya returning to the ring, we're going to draft our best Paige/Saraya moments. Now, make sure you follow us on... What's that, Benny?
I said there's lots.
There, yeah. It was tough sledding a little bit. She doesn't have too many five-star Dave Meltzer matches, but we got there. There's a few fun ones in there. Now, make sure you follow us on the socials, at 3CountPod on Twitter and Facebook, at 3CountPodcast on Instagram. If you're watching on YouTube, hit that subscribe button or the follow button on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. Now, if you've got any feedback for us or you want to be part of the show, email us at 3countpod@outlook.com and we'll see what we can do. Maybe we even get some guests to be part of our draft. So bring it on. Let us know you're out there. Now, Benny, let's get to the news. You got anything big for me?
Mate. Obviously, there's been a bit going on. Are we just gonna focus AEW today?
Well, the funny thing is AEW, it's very quiet on the news front at the moment.
That's what I was gonna say. There's not much going on. I know they're going all in on Full Gear. So I mean, you know, we'll talk about that as we go, I guess.
I think it's really good for AEW that there's not much going on in the news.
Well, there's still, you know, there's all this talk of Punk and everything else, like. Will he go back to WWE? There's talk, you know, everyone in WWE doesn't want him, but Triple H is saying that there's a chance that they might really want to sign him over there. There's talk of Stone Cold getting back in the ring, another match. That's probably the biggest news that I've heard this week.
WWE reportedly offered him a match.
Yeah,
at WrestleMania,
and this is where the whole CM Punk thing comes in, because there's talk of CM Punk versus Stone Cold. So
what a dream mania match.
Oh, maybe for you. I don't know about that.
I have a feeling, even just from those rumors, that AEW will either keep this, you know, contract buyout going, or at least they'll have it. He can't, you know, it's a non-compete or something like that for a little while.
Well, originally there was no non-compete. Wasn't that the case? So
I think so. But
yeah, that'll be interesting.
Maybe they'll just, you know, protract it out a little until
just keep padding it out. Exactly.
Right. Keep padding it out until Mania. So yeah, Austin at Mania, possibly Punk at Mania. As for AEW news, the Elite are officially back.
They're back. Yes.
We will talk about them a bit later. They're going to take on Death Triangle. And I guess the biggest news for AEW is they're heading to England in 2023.
Yeah. Big UK tour. So they did announce one night at London, I think was the first one they announced, didn't they?
Yeah, so hopefully we'll see them on our shores at some point, which would be pretty cool. But yes, the rest of the news, Benny, is WWE. We'll kind of punch through it pretty quickly. I'll punch through and give me some thoughts. Cameron Grimes reportedly set to make his main roster debut soon.
I just think there's so much going on the roster at the moment. I just don't know if we need to keep bringing people up at the moment.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, they're doing so well down there, like... And NXT is doing so good. Like, let's just keep that going and then focus on what we've got at the moment, and then we'll sort of work it out.
Especially with all these returns happening, you know.
Well, that's the thing. There's just been so many returns that we don't need these guys coming up, because they just fall into that, like, that cycle. This is what happened years ago when they started bringing people up. So
absolutely. And there's
focus what you've got good, and then let's work on the main card to try and get it elevated again.
Yeah. Well, there are a few returns on the cards. Robert Roode, close to making his return, could be going back to the glorious gimmick.
Yeah. Kick on, sorry.
So it worked for him in NXT, so.
It never resonated over with the main card, though.
It didn't. No. And the Dirty Dogs never resonated with me, to be honest.
I've never been a Roode fan, but you are, so I mean.
I love the glorious Bobby Roode, but he had to be a heel. In any case, Sarah Logan, she made her return. So we've got that. Now, rumors that Chelsea Green is on the way very soon. And our very own Bronson Reed.
Really?
could be making a return to WWE. So Chelsea Green's contract with Impact is up. And Bronson Reed apparently has an offer on the table from WWE. He's currently with New Japan. Maybe we'll see Bronson back in the ring soon. Triple H was a big fan. He was getting a big push in NXT when it all kind of blew up.
There is talk, with Chelsea Green, obviously your boy Matty Cardona as well. He has come out and said, though, that he does come back. He'd only come back as Matt Cardona. Zack Ryder would not be involved. But he did say he would want to do a cinematic match where it would be Zack Ryder versus Matt Cardona, which that would be pretty funny.
Amazing.
Would be pretty funny.
That's pay-per-view worthy. Now, we've got a few injuries to report as well, unfortunately. Rey Mysterio, he's got a minor lower body injury. He was spotted in a walking boot. So he was supposed to be in that World Cup tournament, but was removed. Now, Kevin Owens, yeah. So his injury is a little more serious. Reported MCL sprain, which he sustained at a house show against Austin Theory. Hopefully be good for the Rumble. It's thrown a few spanners in the works for Survivor Series. He was supposed to be in the team taking on the Bloodline.
So we got any replacements for him yet, you think? Who are you thinking?
It's going to be the Brawling Brutes and Drew McIntyre. They can throw anyone into that final spot. I mean, I have a feeling that final spot was maybe going to be a surprise KO anyway.
Yeah, but I think KO would have been perfect so that you can go down the KO Sami Zayn line in the future.
Absolutely.
That's where it would have worked brilliantly. So I think they're going to have to scramble. And as you said, they can throw anybody in. They don't need anybody. But for storyline worth, like where they were going to go with that, that's where they put a bit of
that's a problem. That's a spot for like Shinsuke or something, right? Like just a guy who doesn't really have much going on, but, you know, is still a name.
Braun? Do they put Braun in? Because then way they can put Braun back into the title picture.
That's true. Well, you know, it could be exciting, whoever that final spot's going to be.
We'll talk about that next week.
We will. Speaking of the Bloodline, we'll quickly touch on that the Usos are now officially the longest reigning tag team champs WWE history. And another Bloodline-related bit of news, 10th anniversary of The Shield.
Yeah.
Can you believe it's been 10 years since The Shield started?
It's been a long time, hasn't it? Yeah.
They did an interview all together in Sports Illustrated, which was pretty cool.
I didn't say that.
So, yeah, go and check that out. Apart from that, I mean, obviously we had Theory, you know, his cash-in loss, which is apparently going to be the start of a character shift and a big push. So,
well, yeah, he snapped the other day. So it looks like he's going to go full heel and just go crazy, which could work.
Could work. Time will tell. But apparently they're not scrapping him, so good stuff for Austin Theory. All right, it's AEW time. No more WWE for the rest of the chat. Let's get into full gear. Benny, have you done your homework?
Look, I tried to do some homework, mate, and there has only been three other full gears. So, I mean, but, you know, your questions are so obscure sometimes that I've got, like, the big answers, but I don't know.
I had to dive deep for some of these, but we'll see how we go.
You've already ruined me.
Now, it is the fourth full gear, the first in 2019, headlined by an unsanctioned lights out match between Mox and Kenny Omega.
Well, there goes one of my answers.
There you go. Well, I'll throw you a did you know for the next one. So, did you know there has not been a full gear main event that hasn't featured either Mox or Kenny Omega?
Well, that was also written down here, yes.
Including this year. Now, Mox is 2-0, MJF is 2-0. Can you tell me who they've beaten?
Yeah, I can. I've got it written here. Well, Mox beat Kenny and Mox beat Eddie Kingston.
That's true.
MJF beat Jericho and MJF beat, was it someone like Darby Allin?
Darby Allin, there you go. You're not meant to say you've got it written down, mate. Just, you know, off the dome.
I had to write some things down. I didn't have who MJF beat written down though, so that's all right.
Well done. Now this is a tricky one. Where does the pay-per-view title Full Gear come from?
Nah, you got me there, mate.
So the 135th episode of Being the Elite was titled Full Gear, which is where they got the pay-per-view title from. Now, the AEW title has only changed hands once at Full Gear. Benny, can you tell me when?
Was that last year when Hangman beat... Yeah, Hangman won?
That's right. The TNT title has only changed once when Darby Allin defeated Cody. Tag team titles have only changed once with the Bucks and FTR in 2020. The women's title has never changed hands at Full Gear.
Okay.
All right, so we've got Saraya making her return. What was her last match? Whoa. There's two possible answers I'd allow you to have here.
How long ago was it? That's probably, what, 2018, 19?
2017.
Ooh.
They were both answers I've got are December 2017.
Nah.
They're tough ones, so... there was a house show at Madison Square Garden which, against Sasha Banks where she actually sustained her neck injury, which put her out. But her last televised match was actually on Christmas Day in 2017 on Raw, teaming with Mandy Rose and Sonya Deville against Bayley, Mickie James, and Sasha Banks.
There you go.
Now, Full Gear 2019, someone debuted the night after Full Gear. Who was it?
2019. Was that Bryan Danielson?
It was Wardlow.
Ah, there you go.
Wardlow debuted just after Full Gear in 2019, attacking Cody. Now, including this year, there are four wrestlers who've appeared on every Full Gear card. Can you tell me who they are?
Now, I was looking through this and I was going, I know there's a couple here and there. It's going to be tough. Now, I was going to leave him to last. But now MJF was on all of them, but did he compete on all? He didn't compete on all of them. So does that count?
No.
Doesn't count? Okay.
Doesn't count.
Okay. Hangman? Nah, he missed the first one. Far out. Okay, so we've got Jericho. Darby Allin?
No.
No.
Tell me when you tap out.
Yeah, I'm tapped.
All right, we've got Jericho, Kenny Omega, and the Young Bucks.
That's it.
They've been on all four Full Gear cards.
Oh, the pillars, of course.
The pillar, that's right. Now, Full Gear has been home to 3 5-star and above matches. Can you name them?
Oh, well, of course, one of it have to be the Minneapolis Street Fight. That was great. Well, last year, Hangman and was that one of them? That have to have been one
it
of
was.
Them.
Hangman and Kenny Omega got a 5.5.
Yeah, that was definitely going to be one of them. What about the year before when they versed each other in the title eliminator? Was that one of them?
No, it wasn't, but there was one from that year.
Ooh. Nah.
The Bucks and FTR.
Oh, that's right. I remember that. That was
5.25 stars. And the last one's actually kind of a surprising one. It was from last year. It's Christian Cage and Jurassic Express against the Super Click. Got 5 stars.
Yeah, okay.
So there you go. It's the only AEW card to ever contain more than 1 5-star match.
There you go.
All right, Benny, you're done. You're off the hot seat. It's time to get into the Full Gear card. Let's kick things off. Darby Allin and Sting against Jay Lethal, Jeff Jarrett. Sting and Allin, $1.52. Jarrett and Lethal, $2.37.
Mate, I'm rolling the dice here. I'm done with this whole Sting and Darby. I'm going Double J.
Double J. Well, we are aligned on this.
Wow.
I'm going with the upset off the bat, if you'll pardon the pun.
Hey.
I think bringing in Jarrett only to have him lose at the first pay-per-view doesn't make sense.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking as well.
So, yeah, Jarrett and Lethal, $2.37. Good odds for that one, I think.
Get on it. What's your thought? Like, is Sting just too gone now? Like, he still looks okay, but I don't know if I'm just sort of...
If they use him correctly, as they have done, you know, he's not going to be a great in-ring worker anymore.
Yeah.
Jarrett's probably a little bit better at that. But, you know, I guess it's just kind of fun to see them both in the ring at the same time.
It's just 1998 or 1999 all over again, though, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like just nostalgia all over.
Absolutely. But, yeah, I agree with you. The Sting and Allin, I think Sting is holding Darby Allin back a little.
Yeah.
It was cool. It's lasted for a while. It's probably gone on a little too long.
Yeah, I agree. And this is a perfect opportunity for them to sort of end it, I think, with Double J taking the victory.
Tell me what your thoughts are here. What would you think of Darby Allin going heel?
Yeah, I don't mind it. He's just so little.
He's too small.
He's so little. And it's hard to see him. I know I use this a lot, but the only way he could be it is a chicken shit heel. Really, yeah. You know what I mean? And that I don't think that works for him. He'd have to be dastardly, real bad heel. Like, and he's just so little.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, moving on. The AEW Trios Championship match, Death Triangle against the Elite, was only announced yesterday, so we don't have odds on it. I would assume the Elite would be favorites with Death Triangle. Probably not huge outsiders, but that is my prediction for the odds. What's your prediction for the match?
I think you've got to go with the Elite. You can't have all this fanfare, bring them back, and then not win.
I disagree.
Really? I like it.
I'm taking Death Triangle. I think having the Elite in the pay-per-view match, that's where the money is. I don't think they need to win it.
Yeah.
Do they get rewarded with the titles, giving the titles back to them after all this shitstorm that they've done? I don't think it sets a good precedent.
Good point.
I could be wrong. It seems to be there's a lot of people backstage who seem to have sided with the Elite in the whole altercation anyway. Yeah. But I guess so. I guess I'm approaching it from a political standpoint backstage, thinking that Death Triangle get the win.
I like that. I like that thought. I didn't think of it that way. I just sort of thought the whole fanfare of bringing them back and everything like that. But for me personally, I just don't see how they lose. Like, they just, on paper, they're just the way better team.
Well, they've been teasing, Pac wants the other two boys to get a little bit more vicious, right? Use a hammer, that kind of thing. Either they decide to go that way and that's how they win, or they implode.
Yeah. Well, I think we'll talk about imploding a bit later on with a couple of other things as well. This card for me as well, just quickly looking over it, I can see how so many different things could implode in so many different matches. And absolutely. I had to try and pick which match it was going to be that it's going to happen, because it can't happen in all of them. So you might be right there with that one. But I'm still going to, I'll still put my money on Elite for me. But yeah, that's good. Could be different.
BE Elite for Benny. We next have singles match Saraya and Britt Baker. Saraya $1.10, Baker $6. Very short odds and good reason for it. It's like when they brought Punk back, like having her lose in her first match doesn't do anything for her. Baker can still kind of be chicken shitty and lose. But yeah, Saraya for me.
Yeah, 100% completely agree with everything you just said, which is a shame because Britt seems to be just sort of slowly disappearing. Do you know what I mean? Like,
well,
she's still prominent, but she just seems to be like that thing that, like that person that's going to get beat. You know, if that makes sense.
Well, I have big plans for Britt, which I'll get into a little bit later.
Okay.
Steel cage match. Yeah. There you go. I'll tease that for a little bit later.
I got you. I just clued in.
Jungle Boy, Luchasaurus. Jungle Boy, $1.36. Luchasaurus, $2.95. Where are you going on this one, Benny?
Look, you got to go with the money. You got to go with Jungle Boy. Just the crowd's behind him and everything like that. And I've written down Jungle Boy, but I've just changed my pick. I'm going Lucha.
Wow. Well, you agree with me then? Because
on the fly, I've just changed it. I just talked up Jungle Boy and I've switched over right on the fly.
I am going the outsider as well, Luchasaurus. Reason being, I don't think it's time for the payoff to this feud yet.
It's just been sort of ebbing and flowing. Like, you just don't know where it's going to go with this one.
I mean, I think Christian can do something dastardly as he does, you know, have it look like Jungle Boy is going to win, that Luchasaurus gets there in the end. I think if they do it right, it's a sleeper pick for match of the night, I think, for me.
Okay, nice.
But there's, you know, it's a great card, but that could be really good. But Luchasaurus for me as well.
Yeah.
Now this one's a bit of a tricky one to pick. We've got the World Title Eliminator Tournament final. At the moment, we've got Ethan Page in the final, And he's going to be taking on either Ricky Starks, Lance Archer, or Brian Cage. So there are no odds for this one. Who do you think's taking it out, Benny?
So I've written down Starks here if he gets through. That's where my money's at. If he doesn't get through, then I'm on Ethan Page.
Okay. Well, I agree with you. I think the money is with Starks. I am a little bit of a Starks mark now. I'll admit it. But Starks and, let's say, MJF wins. Starks MJF feud at Winter is Coming. That could be fun.
Yeah.
So yeah, Starks for me. But I don't see Brian Cage or Lance Archer getting another title shot.
No, not at this stage, no.
So it's, yeah,
it just sort of, if you look back at the last year, like the last world title eliminators and whatever else, it's always been big names and stuff. Like these guys just seem like it's, they should be not going for the title, if that makes sense. It just doesn't seem right. Like, so they're going to have to really build whoever wins this up.
Absolutely. And, you know, you would assume that whoever wins this is probably not going to win the title, but it's a good stepping stone, I guess.
Yeah.
Lance Archer had a title shot before, maybe he's had two, and it just hasn't felt like that's something he could ever win.
Yeah, that's fair.
But okay, Starks, and if no Starks, then Ethan Page. We have the TNT Championship match, Wardlow versus Samoa Joe versus Powerhouse Hobbs. No odds for this one yet, as it was only just announced. This is a tough pick for me.
This is some big boys going at it.
Yeah. Now, you know, historically in wrestling, a good way for a strong face to lose a belt is in a triple threat and not being pinned.
Correct. But how does... Yeah.
However, I don't see them taking the belt off Wardlow yet, at least not in a triple threat match. I guess they got to do something with Hobbs. They seem to be like kind of giving him a little push, but I don't know if he's title material yet.
Well, funnily you say that. I've got Hobbs taking it.
There you go. Okay.
Exactly what you were saying. Wardlow, you know, he doesn't have to lose the title. You know, I think something like Samoa and Wardlow are just going to go at it. Hobbs can sort of sit back a little bit and then just, you know, use his advantage and just, and pick it off somehow and get the sneaky win. And I think Hobbs will have the title. I don't think he'll hold it for long. I think it'll be one of those cases if he gets the title and then Wardlow gets it back off him pretty quickly.
All right.
And smashes him. But I think he'll take the victory at the pay-per-view.
Powerhouse for Benny.
Yeah.
The TBS...
It's the Hobbs connection, you know.
The Hobbs connection. There you go. TBS Championship match. Jade Cargill, Nyla Rose. Cargill, $1.08. Rose, $6.50.
Here's, I've got a match for you just quickly. Throw it in there. Who would you pick if you had Bianca Belair versus Jade Cargill? Title versus title.
Who's booking it?
Yeah, this is what I'm saying. Like, I'm over Cargill so much as well. The same way you're over Belair, I think.
Yeah. I think Cargill wins that match, but I don't know. It really depends who's booking. Because I know if it's anyone at WWE, Bianca Belair doesn't lose. So, yes, I mean, Cargill in this one, put your house on the $1.08. This feud's done nothing for me. It's done nothing for the fans. It seems like a dead spot whenever, you know, they kind of come on. I don't know what they do with Jade from here. They need to have her lose that belt, like, legit.
Yeah, I completely agree. Like, she will win. She'll win this weekend, but it's just not working.
Yeah, it seems like...
It was great, but then it's just sort of just waned off. It's just getting too much now.
It seems like they thought, we've got to have a feud for Jade going in. Like, what do we do? Oh, let's just have Nyla Rose steal the belt and run with that.
Didn't resonate at all with the crowd at all.
The Ring of Honor Championship four-way match, Jericho, Guevara, Danielson, Castagnoli... Got Jericho at $1.40, Danielson $4.50, and Claudio and Guevara at $6.50. Now, as fun as I think it would be to have Sammy like accidentally win the title, I think Jericho keeps the belt, especially after Brian and Claudio got the win on Dynamite.
Completely agree. I've got Jericho taking this one as well. But this is one of those ones that I also said could be a little implode somewhere. Does somebody turn on somebody? Does Claudio go heel, turn on Bryan Danielson, and join Jericho? Or does Sammy, like you said, sneakily get the win, accidentally get the win?
Yeah.
And that causes that feud between Jericho and Sammy, or the rift, as you would call it. But Jericho, for me, I think Jericho wins.
This could be an effing great match.
Yeah, yeah, 100%. Well, all their matches recently have been great. You know, the individual matches, the tag matches. So four-way, it's always still going to be 2-on-2, but it's going to break down. We know it's going to break down because it's you know, four-way. So it has to.
I'm pretty sure the answer is no, but Danielson hasn't held any gold since he went to AEW, has he?
No, not that I can think of.
I might have just swayed myself.
Ooh.
All right, Bryan Danielson for me, $4.50.
He's done it.
Let's take it. I've swayed myself. The AEW Tag Team Championship match, The Acclaimed and Swerve in Our Glory. Acclaimed, $1.17. Swerve in Our Glory, $4.50.
Sizzle me.
Acclaimed. Swerve. Acclaimed. This is one of your implodes. Right?
This is the implode. This has to be the implode. Or have they been swerving us recently with all this stuff? So that now they're going to be a unified team and they're going to take the titles.
Maybe. I mean, wins in a row. I mean, no, I think they're going to implode. I think they're going to implode, start a new program between the two of them.
I agree. I agree that they're going to implode. But,
and you know, acclaimed for the pop.
Oh, the pop will be huge.
Pop will be huge. The AEW Interim Women's Championship match, Tony Storm, Jamie Hayter. Storm $1.45, Hayter $2.59.
Interim. There is a lot of talk at the moment that they're going to strip Thunder Rosa completely of the title if she's going to stay out for longer. So
yeah,
Storm has come out and said, if she's going to be out, you might as well make me the legitimate champion. So, which is fair, I think.
Absolutely. Whatever happened to people relinquishing the belt because of injury? I think it was something special they did for CM Punk, and then they're like, oh, well, I guess we've got to do it for Thunder Rosa as well.
Yeah. I think Storm takes the win here, though, and I feel like you're going to say something else.
I am. I was alluding to it earlier. I'm going with the upset here in Jamie Hayter. I think Hayter being champ, the crowd won it.
Yeah.
Baker losing to Saraya, you know, it could make for some great TV between Hayter and Baker in the coming weeks, and, you know, a bit of jealousy. You know, it's finally Baker who's taking the back seat. She's not going to like it.
So does it become Team Hayter and not Team DMD then?
Possibly. I don't know, but I just think they could have a really great rivalry building from Hayter being champion.
How have AEW not come out with a shirt that says Hayter's gonna hate?
There you go. Sell it, Benny.
There's a shirt right there.
Sell it. I legit texted you a few weeks back saying, why do they not have an honorary Sami Zayn t-shirt?
And then, like, and 2 days later, that was crazy. So if Tony Khan's listening, Hayter's going to hate. There you go.
There you go. Perfect. So I'm going with Jamie Hayter. You're going with Tony Storm. We get to the big one, the AEW Championship match, John Moxley, MJF. MJF, $1.33. Mox, $3.10.
Good money for Mox.
They haven't had a problem with playing the long game with MJF before. Could this just be another notch in the long game of leading to him getting another shot down the track?
I think it's just too big of a roll on this time.
Yeah.
I think comeback.
I've got MJF.
I've got MJF as well. And I think I can't wait for it because I've become a pretty big MJF fan. I think some of the mic work, he's always been good on it, but recently some of the stuff he's done has just been absolutely brilliant.
Yeah.
And although Mox come back at him pretty well just this week and, you know, sort of there's that feud there. I don't know whether this whole stuff with Stokely and how he's saying he doesn't want him anymore and he's been going back at him and whatever else, does that all swerve on us and they're still going to just come back out and help? I don't know.
Oh, yeah, I'm picking the swerve for sure. The firm, it's all a ruse.
It's all a ruse.
Yeah. MJF is the devil. He said it. He said it on multiple occasions.
Yeah.
So if you think he doesn't exist as the devil, you know, he does.
Yeah.
Some new blood in the AEW Championship ranks would be good. You know, I think Mox has carried it well enough.
Yeah, and then he gets his holiday that he was meant to have anyway.
Exactly. MJF taking on, you know, maybe Ricky Starks or Ethan Page at Winter is Coming. What if Wardlow loses the, you know, TNT title, works his way up to title, MJF, championship title level, you know, could have some good fun there, but I can't wait to see MJF as champion. I think it'll happen now.
Now, see, now you put in my head watching MJF hold that title. I don't know if I can see it. I don't know if I can physically see it. It's just weird. Is he going to do the whole crying thing? Is he going to be like all upset and like emotional and then like, you know,
I don't think so.
HBK Styles when he won it at Mania.
If he wins it the way I think he's going to win it, I don't think it will be an emotional, full like, devil happy dust moment. Thing. They've built this like kind of face up with MJF at the moment. He's helping people out. You know, he's saying the right things. They need to, if they're going to turn him heel again, which I think would be absolutely bloody brilliant if they do. Yeah. It's got to be something pretty bad.
We're talking Bash at the Beach styles with like shit getting thrown in the ring and like people going crazy kind of. I like it. I really like it.
And I think he would prefer that than like being showered with cheers.
Yeah. Yeah. Because you could just imagine the grin on his face, that cheeky grin he gets when he just looks at the camera and just goes, yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I like it. I love it.
All right, bring it on.
Looking forward to it.
That is our preview for AEW Full Gear. It's time for the draft, Benny. The best Saraya and Paige moments. Now, you get to draft first.
I think...
It's a clear 101, right?
I don't know. I thought 101 could be... There's two moments for me, but it's got to be the debut on Raw winning the title against AJ Lee.
Absolutely. That's what I had.
Yeah.
The night after Mania, main roster debut, beats AJ Lee for the title in 2014 on Raw.
They made a movie about it, so I mean, that's got to be the number one.
Absolutely. Well, I think I'll probably take the other one, which you were thinking, which is becoming the first NXT Women's Champion against Emma, just on a regular old NXT episode before they had specials.
Cracking match, though, as well, that one. If you Absolutely. Go back and watch that.
Emma was so underrated.
So good. So good. And then she became Emelina.
Yeah.
All right. My next pick is probably her match against Charlotte at Survivor Series 2015. Obviously, it didn't really lead up very well to that because she made all those comments about the death of Reed and all that kind of stuff. And
well, that's kind of what gave it its spice, though, right?
Yeah. So that's just what made everybody just want to see her get her ass kicked, really. But it was actually a pretty good match. So, yeah, Survivor Series 2015.
All right. So we're talking moments here, right? Now, tell me if I'm not allowed this. This is kind of, it's not technically an in-ring moment. But I'm going to say having a movie made out of it. You brought it up.
I had it on my list.
The release of Fighting With My Family in 2019. Great movie, too.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm going to have having your own movie made.
Yeah. That's a fair one.
Featuring the biggest star in the world, The Rock.
Oh, right. Yeah, yeah, cool. I was trying to think of that tall, skinny guy that plays the one that directed it. All right, my next one. I guess this was a pretty big moment when she walks out and she does the, I'm back, and she became SmackDown GM. That was sort of a big pop. It was a pretty big moment for her career.
Okay. So, you know, I did have this as one of my picks. I was going to combine the retirement and the SmackDown GM like 3 days later.
Yeah. Announcement. Okay.
But, you can have both of those if you want, or you just want SmackDown.
No, I just think that I'm back. The retirement thing for me, I know it's a moment.
It's kind of a sad moment.
Yeah.
Though,
that's
right?
Why I left it out.
Yeah.
So, but you can have that if you want.
No, that's okay. I don't want it now. Okay. All right. I've still got a few to go. That's good. I'm going to take another Charlotte Page match, this time from TLC in 2015. I know we talk a little bit about Meltzer stars here, but this was Page's / Saraya's highest star rating. It was only three stars, three, by the way, but it was her highest rating one against Charlotte.
Fair enough. All right, well, my next one is going... So there's two here that I want to pick. And it's both when she formed a trio, essentially. I think I'm going to go with when she formed Absolution.
Okay.
Yeah.
Returns, Absolution, Mandy Rose, Sonya Deville. And it was during a Sasha and Mickey match on Raw in 2017. Yeah, they were pretty dominant.
I liked them.
You kind of forget. I know Mandy's now, you know, I think third longest NXT title reign.
And Sonya's done all right.
She's kind of come back. All right. There's still a few good little ones. I'm going to take beating AJ for her second Divas title at SummerSlam.
Yep. That was when she turned heel on her, wasn't it?
2014. She turned heel, I think it was a little bit before that.
Yeah.
Yeah. But leading up to that match, yes.
Yeah.
Because they were teaming, and then all of a sudden she just grabbed her by the back of the head and started beating on her. But it was a good match.
Yeah, well, because I'll wait until afterwards for honorable mentions. All right. Well, I've got a couple more.
Last pick.
I know.
Got to make it count.
I think for this one, it's going to be a match. They only had one match, and it was on Raw in 2015. It was when Sasha Banks came up to the main card. And that was a cracking match between those two.
Sasha and Paige on Raw. Yes, they didn't have any like big rivalries or pay-per-view matches, but that was good. All right. For her, my last pick, I'm going to take her first and only main card WrestleMania match, WrestleMania 31, Tammy with AJ against the Bellas. And that was actually AJ's last match.
That was on my list as well. That was just the ones I was tossing up between.
So there you go. Do you have any honourable mentions there?
Well, obviously you could have the AEW debut, when she came out. And then when she teamed up with Charlotte and Becky, Team PCB, SummerSlam 2015. A lot of my stuff was 2015.
That's when she did some of her best stuff. That PCB Bella's Team Bad SummerSlam match was another one of her two highest rating star matches.
Yeah.
Three again, but.
And yeah, my other one was versus Nikki Bella, Money in the Bank 2015 as well. So
yes, that was up there as well. My other last one was her turning on Charlotte and Becky on Raw, where it was an emotional night with Ric Flair there. And she just kind of turned on him, basically said that Becky was, you know, not even worth being there.
And Becky went up in leaps and bounds from there. So
absolutely.
That really worked out well for her, didn't it?
Absolutely. So some good stuff there. So Benny, you have Paige winning the Divas title against AJ after Mania on her main roster debut. Paige and Charlotte at Survivor Series 2015, returning as the GM of SmackDown in 2018. Returning again to introduce Absolution on Raw 2017. And a match against Sasha Banks on Raw. I've got her becoming the first NXT Women's Champion against Emma in 2013. The release of Fighting With My Family in 2019. Charlotte Page, TLC 2015, beating AJ for her second Divas title at SummerSlam 2014. And her WrestleMania match with AJ against the Bellas.
AJ Lee getting plenty of props in this one here as well.
Yeah, they had a pretty good rivalry. I read a couple of things. You know, they're actually like really close, and they love teaming with and going against each other.
When you bring somebody in and their first match, they win the title against that person, they're always going to have that career parallels. They're always going to be against each other. So that makes sense.
You kind of forget during, I'd almost forgotten what was going on with the women during that kind of 2015, you know, era. It was, you know, they were building up to the women's like revolution,
yeah,
but it wasn't quite there yet. It was still the Divas title.
This is what I love about when we go back and do these drafts and stuff, because it's the little things you forget about, and then you start, so then all of a sudden you go down a rabbit hole and you just start watching videos and stuff like that. Like last night I was just watching all these different Page moments, and I was like, oh, I remember that with Becky, remember that with Charlotte. And so it gives you those memories for other things as well. So it's
fun. Absolutely, so many YouTube rabbit holes to go down. Oh,
so many.
In any case, that's it for the draft, and that is it for the show this week. We're going to be back next week to break down everything that happened at Full Gear.
It's going
to
be
quote about all our upset picks. We're going to look ahead to Survivor Series, and as always, we'll have another 3-count draft for you. Thank you for joining us, Benny.
Thanks, buddy. Looking forward to Full Gear. It should be fun.
Go and enjoy it on Sunday, and we'll see you again next time on the 3-count podcast.